Father, bless these words. There's a lot of things happening in this church. And a lot of people, many, many of you, are in either some sort of a test or under some form of attack by the enemy. Many of you. Not just one or two, I would say the majority. So we're going to talk a little bit about what to do when that happens. Unless there is the right foundation laid in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, then whatever is built on that foundation cannot stand. It will not be sustainable. The pastor lays down, if he is a Spirit-filled, finished work preaching pastor, he lays down the right foundation for his congregation. A man in his home, if he has any wisdom, will lay down the finished work as the foundation for his home. This is what spiritual authority is. This is what the headship of the home is. The headship of the home is not saying, I am top dog, listen to me. That is an attempt to put other people in bondage to that person's flesh. The headship of the home is that the father lay down the finished work as the foundation for his home. And when a father lays down the foundation of the finished work for his home, then he is the proper head for his family. No other foundation can be built that will have anything at all stand on it. That is the only foundation that can sustain a church. It is the only foundation that can sustain a home. And it is the only foundation that can sustain your life. If the foundation in the person's home, in your homes, is not the finished work, then your family will pay the price. And I dare say it's the father's responsibility, and the father will be held accountable at the Bema Seat of Christ. The man in the home must establish the finished work as the foundation for his home, or he has no spiritual authority. A lack of spiritual authority in homes is a very large reason why warfare is frequently successful. Because there is no truth in that home. It is not an issue of conformity, it is an issue of the finished work. Conformity will not come apart from the finished work because the finished work is the foundation. You are asking someone to build a house not on sand but on water. The finished work is the foundation. Let me say it again. The finished work is the foundation. Be careful. And I am speaking to the fathers, the men in our congregation. Be careful not to be so proud in your homes that you think everyone must submit to you apart you from you having submitted first to God. If you are not establishing the finished work in your home, you are unsubmitted to God and you are not ahead to your family. If you don't like it, look it up. It's in your Bible. And if you want to argue with that, then you're arguing with God and you are removing from God's Word. In Revelation 22, you're probably not even saved if you have the audacity to do that. And I don't care who doesn't like it. If you don't like the finished work, find yourself a church that's nice and lukewarm and won't preach it. You do it God's way or it's not going to work for you. That's for the men. You be a man in your family that establishes the love of God the mercy of God, the gentleness and kindness of God to your family. If you do not mark my words, you will lose your family. And it will be your fault, not theirs. Mark those words. As sure as we are sitting here today, mark those words. Every single man in this church, every single man who is a head of a home, must establish the finished work as the foundation for their home. Or you're not doing it God's way, and you are unsubmitted to God. And you know what? Christ is the head of the man. Love your wife, love your family, as Christ loves you. Husbands, love your wives, but also husbands, submit to Christ. If you are not establishing the finished work in your home as the foundation, you have not submitted to Christ. And if you don't like it, too bad, you've got an issue with God. Because that's God's Word. That's God's Word. The finished work is the foundation. The love of God, the mercy of God, the gentleness of God. You love people into submission. You don't bully them into it. God didn't bully you, and you don't bully anybody else. You love them into submission. Because that's how Christ did it with you. If God should mark iniquity, tell you one thing, you wouldn't stand. Then why do you mark other people's iniquity in your home? Don't you dare. You know what happens to a person who resists this kind of a message? God will initiate a program. Mark this. Listen to this. This is absolutely from the throne. God is going to initiate a program of opposition whereby the man who refuses to give mercy in the home will fall on his face, and he will desperately, desperately need mercy. God isn't interested in your conformity. God is interested in your heart. Because that's how He brings about. Romans chapter 2 verse 4. Is the Bible the Word of God? Yes, it is. God's gentleness, God's goodness leads people to repentance. Not your bullying them. God's goodness leads people to repentance. And if you haven't been a man who has established the finished work in his home for his family as the foundation of that house, you have not been ahead, and you need to go and you need to get before God and you need to ask Him for forgiveness. Get on your face before Him and you need to ask Him to quicken you and to show you what the finished work means in your home. Every man, this church or not, every man who is the head of a home needs that as his foundation. And if you don't have that, you're not submitted to Christ. You're rebellious against God. You're rebellious against His way of doing things. And don't be surprised if your children turn out rebellious. Because you taught them that. I don't care who doesn't like it. This message will save your family. This message will save the lives of your children if you humble yourself before God in 1 Peter chapter 5 and submit to the one who is called to teach you this. Don't be arrogant in the face of God. Because it's His Word you're arrogant towards. finished work is the foundation of the family. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. A large part of the warfare that is going on in this church is because men have not been heads to their families. They try to control rather than be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so they operate in their natural understanding, in their natural wisdom, in the natural way of doing things, and in their ego. And it's destroying people. Now in Isaiah 55, starting in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. Who is the wicked? The one who refuses the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is the finished work. The wicked is the one who denies the blood of the Lamb toward anybody. The wicked is the one who refuses to do things God's way because he thinks he knows better. Well, you must know more than God. What did you create? You hear this, men? I'm talking to men. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Don't even keep your old thoughts. Get rid of them. They are wrong. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Did you know that every man who does not establish the finished work in his home is in iniquity against God, and he needs God's mercy, and he needs to be pardoned because he's living in sin? Because he's not living in faith. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Hello? Is this the Word of God or is it not? Is the Bible the Word of God? If it is, why don't you believe it? It's iniquity. And it's a proud heart toward God and toward God's Word. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Your natural understanding and the way that you're trying to do things in your flesh, in your homes, is killing your families. And a lot of warfare is taking place because there's no proper spiritual covering. Because you are uncovered, because you are unsubmitted to God's Word. You think you know more. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, how high are the heavens higher than the earth? Well, I don't know. How high is the galaxy? How high is the universe? That is the separation between your mind and God's mind. The distance between the earth and the end of the universe. You think God knows more than you do? I think so. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God's thoughts are far beyond your natural reasoning. And if you can't submit to the Bible, God is going to put himself into a, you know what? He's going to put himself into a military stance in the original language against you. And he's going to oppose you. And if he has to break you physically, he'll do it. If he has to cause you to fall into deep sin to make you humble, he will allow it to happen. How do I know that? Because Paul said, the man who was rebellious against God, that man was to be separated unto Satan as a believer, as a member of that church. Don't you think that anyone is any different today? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if this is offending you, you need to be offended because you don't love God's Word. And that's a big, red, stinking flag. Now turn, please, to Proverbs. In verse 25. Now I'm talking to everybody, not just the men. Like I asked the group on Friday, do you want a pastor who's going to tell you what you want to hear, or do you want a pastor who's going to tell you the truth in love, even though you don't want to hear it? Well, I am commanded to speak in season and out of season. I don't care if you don't like it. Take it up with God. Have fun at the Bema seat. Enjoy your eternal loss. Now this one's to everybody. In Proverbs 25 verse 21. If thine enemy, and the enemy is not there like we think of enemy, the enemy in this passage is anyone who comes against you. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. You know what most people do in their natural reasoning? If their enemy is hungry, they'll kick him out and they'll say, you earned it, you deserved it, you brought it on yourself. Well, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. This is God's Word. And inconsistency of the finished work in the home is what brings people into confusion, into insecurity, into fear, and into a place given to the devil. Hear that, men? And those of you who are in a family like that, don't you dare use that as a reason or an excuse. Because you stand before God too. That is your opportunity to get to know God in a way you would never get to know Him before or otherwise. Do it God's way in your homes, or God will not honor you as the head. Is that clear? Do it God's way in your homes, or God will not honor you as the head. And your families will pay the price because you refuse to submit to God. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Be kind to your enemy. Be kind to the person who comes against you. Be kind to them. Don't tell them what a loser they are. You're doing things your way, not God's way. God is going to find Himself in opposition to you. Be careful about that, men. Women, too. Do things God's way. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. And in verse 22, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward you. What is coals of fire? What are the coals of fire? The coals of fire are the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. That's what Isaiah had to have, a burning coal placed to his lips so his lips would be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. When you are kind to people who are unkind to you, when you are loving to the unlovely, when you are sweet to those who are not sweet to you, You are sanctifying them with your kindness, because it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and that is the second attribute of love. When you are doing those things, you are sanctifying them unto God so that the Holy Spirit can work in their hearts. You can't change them. You're a man. God changes them. And God changes them through your initiations of His love towards them, of His mercy towards them, of His kindness towards them, of His compassion and His gentleness and His loving kindness and His patience and His goodness towards them. You want a good family? You want a family that prospers spiritually? You want a family that loves you? You want a family that responds to God properly? You start responding to God properly. You do things God's way. You know what? If you don't like it, I will promise you, God is going to break you. I will promise you this. Absolutely promise. Every man in this church needs to hear this. God will set you up. Why? Humble yourself before the Lord so that He may exalt you in due time. But He gives grace to the humble and opposes the proud. If you're not establishing the finished work, if you are not establishing God's character, God's nature, God's patience, God's love, God's gentleness, God's mercy, God's goodness in your home, God will set you up. He will oppose you and He will break you and you will fall on your face, and He will make sure that you know your need for His mercy. He will absolutely, mark my words, I absolutely guarantee it, He will do it. Because it's God you're messing with. It is God you're messing with. It's not your family, it's not your pastor, it's not other people, it is God. Do it God's way. Sanctify people who are undeserving. Because while we were yet sinners, while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Sanctify them through the love of God. Sanctify them through the kindness and the mercy and gentleness and goodness and patience and loving kindness of God. Sanctify them through God's compassion. Now, what happens when you are in this trial, in any trial? When you are in a trial, when you are in a test, and all of you are going to be there, and many of you are there now, you have to be careful. God brings the test, but Satan tries to use it. Now in Ecclesiastes 7:8, the Word of God says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Do you hear that, men? The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Ecclesiastes 7:8. In your Bible. When I am in the trial of my faith, when I am in a difficult time, when I am in a time of testing, I have to remember that the end of the thing is better than the beginning thereof. The result of that test will leave me in a better place than I was when I started. And so I have to be patient toward God. I have to be patient in the test so that I will receive God's work in my heart, so that that test will produce what God had sent it to produce. By the way, what does the test involve? It can involve numerous things, but very often it involves people, because they are God's divine sandpaper to smooth out your rough edges so that you can be properly conformed to the image of Christ. You know what happens in the test? One of two things will happen. Either you will stand still in the test and you'll trust God, or you will run. I was talking to a person recently. This person has been in a difficult situation that has really tried their faith in many respects, and they have done beautifully. And I said to this person, I'm very proud of you, because you've maintained your convictions and you have not run. They did that because they have a heart after God. This person maintained their convictions and they did not run. And I'm very proud of that person. And you know what? That person has earned for themselves eternal rewards and eternal glory in heaven, and nothing's going to take that from them. Why? Because they stood in the fire and they didn't run. When the test comes, when the difficult people come, when the trial comes, when the difficult circumstances come, when the attacks come, don't run. Never run. Never run. Never run. It is there for your benefit. How can it be there for my benefit? It feels so terrible. You see, those feelings are exactly the symptom of the fact that there is a need going on in your soul, and God is now meeting that need. He has to empty you of the old, of the natural, before He can fill you with His nature. In James 1:2, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse testings. The word is not temptation, the word is testings. And it's not just a testing, but it is a testing that is there for a specific reason. It is a testing not meant to make you fail, it is a testing to prove you in promotion. The trial that you are in, the trial in your families, the trial at your jobs, the trial with other people, the persecution you may be facing, that is there as a proving mechanism to work God's character in you so that you may be able to receive a promotion from God. A blessing here in the form of being conformed to the image of Christ, and eternal rewards in heaven, just like that person who stood in those difficulties and would not waver in their convictions. Wouldn't run, wouldn't waver. Beautiful heart after God. Very proud of people who are like that. I'll tell you one thing, God is very proud of people who are like that, because that means they can trust, that He can trust them. That means that He can trust them. You know what happens when you run out of trial? It's very similar to what we were talking about the other day. It's like those veterans at Iwo Jima, those soldiers. And there was a veteran soldier that was assigned to several rookie soldiers. And they stayed in the holes that the bombs made. And those very holes that were made by the bombs became their protection. They became their provision. The very trial that I am in becomes my provision. I don't run out of the trial because my emotions don't feel good. I stay in the trial because it will work a place of provision for me, a place of building, a place of character, a place that builds capacity in me to trust God. I can't run out of the trial. If I run out of the trial, I will run away from the very thing that God has sent, even though by sight it looks terrible, by sight it looks cruel. But you know what Satan tries to do? He tries to get you to fear in the trial. What do people fear? People fear that something's going to go wrong. People fear that they're going to be rejected. People fear that people won't treat them nice. People fear that something's going to happen to them, you know, that their life's going to get messed up. You know what? That trial is your provision. You will not get hurt in the trial. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. You will be built in the trial. That's why you don't run out of the trial. The trial builds you. It was there to empty you out of something that is natural, of something that is after the old man, so that God will have a capacity in you to fill Him with His nature and His character. When I run out of the trial, I run out of God's building process. Write that down. When I run out of the trial, I run out of God's building process. You never run out of the trial. Don't you even dare run out of the trial. Don't even think about it. We all get that temptation. I've been there. I know what that's like. But I've got news for you. The end of the thing is better than the beginning thereof, but I gotta stay in there. The Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3 only were with Christ while they were in the fire. The Hebrew boys only met Christ while they were in the fire, in the furnace. Don't leave the furnace. What happens to those right outside the furnace? They perish. Read it for yourself. Daniel chapter 3. The ones outside the furnace perish. The ones inside the furnace are preserved by God. The Holy Spirit is saying something to you. Listen to Him. It's going to protect your life. The Holy Spirit is trying to protect your life. Listen to Him. When the trial comes, stay in it. Because you meet Christ there. When the storm comes, He's the one in the storm. Go out on the water and meet Him. Get into the storm. Beyond what you can understand in your natural reasoning, and live a supernatural life with God. Never run out of a trial. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. In James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Patience has a work in the trial. Be patient in the trial. Don't run out. Be patient in your trial because there is a perfect work in the trial. And it is there to perfect you so you may be wanting of nothing. So you may be full and complete and mature and godly and have that godliness pouring out of you as life to you and life to other people. That trial was there to break you so that God can pour Himself into you and then through you unto other people. That's what the trial is for. People run out of God's very processes and God's very purpose and God's very way of doing things because they're afraid. They don't trust Him and they're afraid. Well, you know what? God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind in 2 Timothy 1:7. He's given you a spirit of power and a love and a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. Well, if God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, then who has? You know who wants you out of the trial? The enemy wants you out of the trial. The enemy says, run from the people who treat you poorly. Somebody comes against me. Somebody persecutes me. Somebody's constantly nasty to me. I want to run to them. But you know what they need? Those are the very people that need you. Why? Because they're watching your life and God is being revealed to them through your responses. You run out of that trial and God's no longer there. He touches families this way. He touches friends this way. He touches your co-workers and your schoolmates this way. You can't run out of the trial and have it be of God. You know what? Anytime you are in a trial, anytime you are in a difficult circumstance, anytime that something comes against you, make no decisions. That's not the time to make decisions. That's the time to stand still. That's the time to stand still. And if you don't know what to do in that trial, if in James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. If you lack wisdom, let you ask God. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraid. He doesn't make you ashamed. He doesn't rebuke you for not having the wisdom. He comes to you and He gives it to you. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you're in a trial or a circumstance that is overwhelming for you, that is too hard for you, if you're in a position, where you are in close association to people who are attacking you, you don't run from them. They need you there. And if you don't know how to respond, ask God, and He will give to you. In the trial of your faith, you draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. In the difficult times, you draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Stay properly covered by your pastor, by the body of Christ. Stay in the Word of God. Listen to this. Make sure you get built up in the Word of God at least that hour a day, because otherwise you won't have the provision you need for that day's trial. That's why the Word of God is so important. Because without it, there is no provision in my soul, and I can't respond to God. If I am in a trial of my faith, I have to be careful not to respond to the enemy, not to respond in fear, not to respond in anxiety, not to respond when the enemy sends an unclean spirit against me. I run from those things, and I run to God. In Hebrews 12:2, the Word of God says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is what I do in the trial. I look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't worry about the shame. That's what the word despising means. It means to esteem lightly. Despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. God went through the trial when you were against God. That was 2,000 years ago. I wasn't even born. He is the eternal God. People think so temporally. They think a long time. But the truth of the matter is God and you are both in eternity. So you consider your Savior, who knows exactly what it is like to be in the trial. He knows exactly what it's like to be in the trial. He knows exactly what it's like. He knows exactly the things you're going through. He knows the trial. He's been there. In Hebrews 5:8, though He were a son, yet He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. He had to suffer Himself, and He was the Son of God, and He had to suffer so that He would respond in faith obedience when the persecution, the scourging, the mocking, the trial came. When the cross came, He had to respond in obedience. And He learned that obedience to go to the cross, to endure Gethsemane, when the demonic attack was so intense that blood was coming out His pores. He had to learn that obedience. And He learned it through the things that He suffered. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 11, for no other foundation can a man lay than that which is Jesus Christ. That is the foundation we were talking about a few minutes ago. The foundation of Christ. the finished work in your home, the finished work in your life, the finished work in your thinking. That is the only foundation that can be laid, is the finished work. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, gold, faith, silver, word of God, precious stones, fruits of the Spirit. Or he may lay on it wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, natural efforts, natural ways of doing things. Hay, natural thinking. Stubble, the results of those things. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And it isn't revealed by fire at the Bema Seat, it is revealed by fire now. This is the trial to reveal your fruit. The trial is there to reveal your fruit. The trial is there to reveal your faith. The trial is there to reveal the word that was stored in your heart. And the fire shall try every man's work, fruit, of what sort it is. And in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. That person is going to get an eternal reward. Just like that person that I was talking about, who's stuck in the trial, who's stuck in the fire, who stayed in a difficult circumstance, wouldn't budge, wouldn't run, wouldn't yield their convictions. Well, that person's going to get an eternal reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. What gets burned? Wood, hay, and stubble. Natural reasoning, natural effort, the results of those things. The fruit of the flesh. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Guys, the trial is there not to hurt you. The trial is there to promote you. The trial is not there to hurt you. The trial is there to promote you. Let me say it again. The trial is not there to hurt you. The trial is there to promote you. But if I respond in my flesh, if I respond in anger or hostility or fear or insecurity or in my emotions or freaking out or whatever it is that people do, and God knows we've all been there, then that part is lost. But if I take in the Word of God and it builds a fortitude of doctrine in my heart and I respond according to the Word that was stored in my heart, then I am getting gold, silver, and precious stones, and I have an eternal reward, and I will respond in the character and nature of God. That's why I don't run out of the trial. That's why I don't run out of the fire, because right outside the fire, I get killed. You get out of that crater that the bomb built, you're going to get shot by the enemy, just like those soldiers at Iwo Jima. There was a bomb that built the shelter. Exodus 14, and verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptian whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more. In the trial, I don't fear, I don't get anxious, I don't get worried about what people will say. I don't get afraid that people are going to reject me. I don't get afraid of that they're going to be nasty to me. I don't get afraid that something's going to go wrong. In the trial, I don't fear, because God has not given me the spirit of fear. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You were in that bondage once. You're not in it no more. And you did not receive it again. You did not receive a spirit of fear. Don't be familiar with the Word of God. Don't be familiar when the Holy Spirit has something to say to you. You did not receive the spirit of fear. You did not receive a spirit of bondage to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, whereby we cry, Daddy. That's what Abba means. It means Daddy. God is your Daddy. Some people have wonderful fathers to their biology, and some people don't. But you know what? Every single born-again believer has a daddy. And it's a daddy who loves them. And it's a daddy who thinks about them all the time, who's constantly focused on it. And it's a daddy who will be very kind and sweet and loving to them even in their failure. He's their daddy. And He loves them. And though He may have to correct them from time to time, He still loves them and He corrects them because He loves them. He teaches them and He protects them and He takes care of them and He provides for them. He is their daddy. The Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see no more. Why? Because once you get that victory in the trial, the next one is easy. Why? Because you've already overcome. You've already learned to be an overcomer. You have already overcome. The next one is easy. You don't run out of the trial. Don't you know what you're doing when you run? You are running from the provisions of God. You never run. You never run. You never run in the trial. You never run in the trial. Don't try to change your situation. Don't try to change the people. Don't try to change your place. Don't try to change anything. That's not the time to do it. When you're in the trial, you stand still. And because you have stood still, you will see the deliverance. You will see God working on your behalf when you stand still and trust Him. If you run, He's not going to work on your behalf. Oh, He'll still love you, but in that trial, He will not work on your behalf. Because you have taken it onto yourself. You have put things in your own hands. But you stand still, and you fear not, and you see the deliverance of God. In 2 Chronicles 20:17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. What did He say? You shall not need to fight in this battle. You won't need to fight. You won't have to worry about it. You won't need to fight in this battle. God's going to fight this battle for you. You got somebody who's being unkind to you. You got somebody who's being difficult towards you. Maybe it's your own fault. You know what you do? You stand still anyway, because God will deliver you from the circumstance, from the person, from the persecution, from whatever it is, and He'll deliver you in your own heart from those elements of the natural man that are plaguing you so much and bringing these things out. He will empty you, He will take that away, and He will replace it with His character when you stand still. That's how it works. You stand still. Set yourselves. Not run, set yourselves. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, the deliverance of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. And we are Judah and Jerusalem. We are the spiritual Israel today. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be worried. Don't flip out. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Why? God is with you in the trial. Don't you see it? God is with you in the trial. It's like the Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3. King, we're going to do what God wants us to do. And if you don't like it, King, that's too bad. And if you throw us in the furnace, King, that's too bad. Throw us in, we're going to do what God wants us to do. Don't throw us in, we're going to do what God wants us to do. But I tell you one thing, our God is more than able. Our God is more than able. God is more than able to deliver you when you stand still. God is more than able to deliver you when you stand still. And He will do it. He's not only able to do it, He will do it. That is His promise to His children. And they threw them on, they turned up the furnace 7 times hotter, and they threw those Hebrew boys in, and God was in that fire. And the testimony of what happened in that furnace changed the entire nation. The king got saved. In Babylon, in that captivity, because of the fire, because those Hebrew boys would not run, a huge and tremendous impact on that entire nation took place. The testimony of God was in the fire. You know what? In your life, the testimony of God is in your fire. Write that down. The testimony of God is in your fire. The testimony of God is in your trial. That's why you don't run. Because God is there. And you'd be running from God. Right outside the furnace is where the heat was. Not in the fire. Outside the furnace. Folks, the valley of the shadow of death is a valley only of shadow. It only looks bad. It only looks bad. But God is there. And He will deliver you if you stand still. Run out of the furnace and you run right into the heat. He will deliver you because He's in the furnace with you. Get out of the furnace and you've run from God. Stay in the furnace. Mark these words. I'm absolutely serious. I'm getting things right from the throne today. Mark these words. Don't run in your trials. Stay in the furnace because God is in the furnace. Stay in the furnace because God is in the furnace. God will always be faithful to you. But the enemy will try to take advantage of your trials with fear. And he's going to make you afraid that somebody's going to do something bad to you, or that they're going to reject you, or that somehow something awful will happen. But you know what? God is more than able and He will deliver you. And while you are in that trial, the people around you will be delivered also. Why? Because God is there. It's like Pastor Stephen said in that message, Beautiful for Situations. Do you know why God puts you in the trial? One of the many reasons. Because if you're not in the trial, God's not there. If you're not in the trial, God's not there. Simple as that. If you're not in the trial, God's not there. The people need you in that trial. You need the trial. And God needs you in the trial. Why do you think Satan projects fear? Because God needs you in the trial. Satan projects fear because God needs you in the trial. You need the trial and other people need you in that trial. So how do you respond? With kindness, with gentleness, with sweetness and compassion. And if somebody's coming against you, you show them those characteristics, and you have sanctified them with the nature of God coming out of you unto the Holy Spirit to deal with their hearts. Amen.